items. We have no approval of absence. So we move on to response to previous questions on notice. There was none, nil. Questions from the left of Mams Airport meeting on the 6th of February. There is nil. Public question time. Meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and assist for minute taking purposes, which may be released upon request of third parties. If you do not give permission to record your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded, in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law and standing orders, nobody shall use or any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Public question time. We have no public. Public statement time. We have no public. Nil. Questions from members about notice. Chrissy,
yes. Yes, I'd like to know what the latest state of play is regarding the Town of Port Hedland recruiting a project officer for this town, and if that individual is going to be, when this individual is selected by council, will that officer be sitting on our meetings, our airport meetings?
I'll pass that across to the CEO.
Through the chair, there's been one stage of the process undertaken where a panel interviewed four people in Perth Saturday week ago. Four very good candidates. Two of those were, I'd say, outstanding. They are now going to be in Port Hedland this Saturday doing a presentation to executive and council based on their vision for the future of the Port Hedland International Airport. Following on from that, as CEO, I'll make a recommendation to council on the appointment of one of those people, and that's most likely going to occur at a special council meeting next Wednesday, the 13th. So once that person is selected, or the recruitment process is completed, and we will probably, I think my view would be that we'll need to probably reconsider the structure of this committee, given the commerciality, which has again been evidenced in all those presentations you just saw, and have a look at what's actually needed to move the airport redevelopment forward.
Yeah.
What structure?
Because I've been thinking about this the last 4 weeks or so, that when you think about it, every one of us here in this committee, none of us are experts on how to build airports, but somebody like a project officer that you're aiming for, when that individual's on the committee, I think it'll help to give this whole committee a focus and a stronger movement forward in terms of getting this new airport up and running.
Well, I'll throw the cat amongst pigeons. I'm not quite convinced that and with all due respect to people around the table, I'm not quite convinced that we've got the right structure in this committee to deliver a $70 to $150 million program of works over the next decade.
Mm.
So I actually think that there's probably other people who need to be considered to be brought onto a committee.
Yeah.
So whether it's a revamp of this committee, whether it's a gradual redevelopment or a build of this committee, but I think we need to make a clear separation between the day-to-day operations, and we've now got the user group starting to, I think, function quite well. We've got another meeting later this afternoon. So in terms of day-to-day issues, but I think there's a need to bring to this committee and the council a discussion paper on a preferred model for a board more than a committee to consider the future of the Port Hedland International Airport.
Yeah.
That's my view, and I may be shouted down and torn to shreds on that, but I think that's what we need to be looking at.
Okay, thanks. In defence of the committee, which I have been on now for about 10 years, I might also add too that there has been very derelict in some of the attitude that has been supported from the council, and many, many times have just been left there to make up their own decisions and own agendas and everything like that. And it's only been in the last 12 months, I think, that anybody's acknowledged this committee has any input into the airport operation at all, because every time you mentioned something, there was always somewhere there to put it back. I can go back to you last August, September. We put a resolution to the demolished sheds. It took us 8 months to get a shed. It's been frustrating to run this committee and to try and achieve something, because every time we went up, there were banners there, there were rocks there, were bricks there, because nobody had any idea of the potential of the importance that this airport has got to Port Hedland. Now they're starting to realise that if they don't get up their bum and do something, Karratha will come in and demolish it. And so they should too, because somebody's got it in the Pilbara. It's got to have a central point where you've got a domestic airport or an international airport where everybody can use it. But nobody, I don't care who you get in here, whether you get in a committee, whether you get in anybody, unless they get the support of the council and its officers and the financial aspect, you will go absolutely nowhere. And that is what's been the trouble with this committee all the time, is that half a dozen of us, they're dedicating time, and believe me, there has been a lot of time, and nobody's taking any notes. All of a sudden they've woken up, gee, we've got a gold mine out there. We've had a bloody gold mine out there for the last 20 years, but nobody's accepted it. So that's my opinion. I hear what you say. I also hear it started, if you're going to promote something, you've got to get somebody who's interested in it, somebody has a delegation to it, and above all, that somebody from the counter put in to contribute something positive instead of negative. Once they get, they will be able to move on. I'm out to my phone up now. I didn't want to be interrupted.
I didn't know any more emotion was actually ringing when it was the phone.
That was only my wife letting me know I'd finished my speech.
Well done, Andy.
Thank you,
anyway. And so I think the CEO's asked your question, but I also put more input into it because there is a lot to do, and somebody has got to sit down. And we're not talking about $70.5 million that all of a sudden has come out of the blue. We're talking about $150 million to do that airport up to what's got to
be. The reason why I'm asking is that if this project officer is going to be with us, hopefully it'll happen very soon because we need momentum and lots of it to really keep moving ahead.
I think the CEO's answered that question. There will be a decision on the 13th.
Thank you.
I forgot to ask you, did you have anything to search? Any comments?
Not as far as what we just discussed, mate.
Just question time.
Question time. Just an update on the hotel would be good.
Please. Could you give an update on the hotel? Not the landing, the hotel at the airport.
No, airport hotel.
So, through the chair, I think I'm aware where there's been one proponent left standing, and we have been trying to work out a process of bringing a decision and a series of milestones, so almost a roadmap through to a final decision by council whether to entertain that, that proposal or not. So, at this stage, again, there'll be an agenda item going to the special council meeting next week. We'll try to demonstrate that process so that gives council the opportunity of considering moving the process along without necessarily committing 100% of the project at this particular point in time. So there's been a bit of work behind the scenes. There's obviously some due diligence undertaken through PwC did the due diligence initially. So we've now got proposals from PricewaterhouseCoopers and also UHY Haynes Norton to look at that further process of, I guess, ensuring that the asset of the town of Port Hedland is going to be best utilised through this proposal. So it's really the process search from here on. I had a meeting with Richard Green in Perth a fortnight ago. And also gave him a commitment that we'd be back to them in a couple of weeks with a process so that everyone knew where everyone stood.
Can that tell us leasehold, not freehold? Leasehold, not freehold?
There's no discussion about freehold. I think they, the proposal also talks about leasehold.
Yeah, I just want to clarify it was leasehold, that's all.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Zombeck, have you got any comments?
Yes, I do have a question if I could.
Go for it.
And it does relate to a very brief report in reports from members. The overall question, given that it was recognised at the conference that airports are main economic drivers of any economy, the main asset of all regional local governments. At the conference, there was a focus on the Pilbara as a major economic driver of the nation. And I think you touched on that in your presentation. How do we actually envisage funding the expansion to support this key economic area in Australia, to support not just the current economic hub, but the growth in this critical area? When we're talking to the tune of somewhere between 70 to 150 million, where's the funding coming from? That's my question.
I'll just pass that straight to the CEO.
Through the chair, I think that the actual development, it may be that part of that expenditure, part of that capital, may be derived from the first investment. So I actually think that when the new program director's on board and actually start looking at the elements of redevelopment that are required, perhaps there's actually a need to put the most, the elements that got the highest rate of return first. So it may not be the prettiest, but it may be the highest rate of return, which will provide a revenue stream to actually start to fund some of the other components. We know that there's supposed to be $40 million being returned into the reserve through the proceeds of sales and leases from Precinct 3. We've got no guarantee, apart from the leasehold component that's already in place through the agreement for the TWAs, there's no guarantee we can do anything more than that. If there's no appetite from someone to lease or purchase those commercial sites, there's a big hole already in the funding streams. So I think we're carrying a bit of risk in terms of the proposal. However, in saying that, I think that there's regional development airport scheme can provide some level of support. And again, like every grant funding program now, if you've got a good strategy in place, quite often you can pick up more than 1 year of funding. Not recurrent funding, but if you've got a strategy, then perhaps there's more than 1 year of funding available. There's no doubt we have to be very, very prepared to get to the fence and talk, whether it's through an RDA round, RDA Regional Development Australia Fund, or perhaps whether it's through Infrastructure Australia, to actually get some key funding to assist the development of Port Hedland National Airport. I suspect there'll be some of the components that we are proposing which will be not eligible, because I see that they've got a commercial rate of return and they won't fund, and probably shouldn't fund, something out of public monies that's already got a commercial rate of return. So the secret will be, again, looking at the components that can attract funding and whether we should be doing those early or later. So it's actually just really creating that pipeline of projects and lining them up.
Could I just ask a second?
Certainly.
Second half of that question, and thanks for the overview. At the conference, there was a very detailed presentation by the Department of Transport from the state government, showing potential new interest in all regional airports' problems with growing due to lack of funding. It's very well recognised around the nation. My question is the local government here talking to the state government, in whatever capacity, whatever department, particularly in the area of the Pilbara City, the state government vision of the Pilbara City, trying to become a Pilbara City, if it can't support one of its main assets? Are there any discussions taking place right now to state government? Projecting the growth is going to be hindered if we don't develop our key asset, which is the airport.
Through the chair, I guess as a CEO, now I haven't started those discussions. I know I need to. I think it's important to actually get you can go to the state government now with the key data, but until we actually determine the pipeline projects, all we're doing is showing them the master plan.
Yep.
So there's no doubt the state government has to be involved. And I guess that's where the town of Port Hedland can do a certain amount of work, and I guess that's where we need additional support from, I think, our other organisations, including the PDC, from the RDA, and also from perhaps our local chambers and from the major resource companies.
May I ask another question, please?
Certainly.
With Precinct 3 for sales and leasings, will there be design guidelines like Landcorp? One of Landcorp's failings is their design guidelines. For example, in some blocks they ask for 10% coverage in buildings. You buy a 20,000 square metre block, you've got to build 2,000 square metre shed. That's not commercially viable. Are we going to be selling and leasing without design guidelines?
Council last night endorsed some design guidelines, so they're publicly available now.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't and they don't talk about maximum or minimum development.
They give you the building height, they give you the building setbacks, and they give you identity in terms of where the build area is going to be, just the drainage implications for the whole site. As we need. But I have to stipulate, it's still a draft document, and you're spot on, so we actually want to put that out to the market and to the public to actually get feedback on whether we've got the design guidelines correct. And obviously, yep, they'll add to it already. It's just a draft, I'm just going to try to get through that.
Because I think the requirement of building a 10% area shed, for example, building or whatever, is detrimental to the sales. There are people just will not buy because they're not prepared to spend that much money, and then Mancorp wonder why their blocks don't sell. That is one of the reasons and feedbacks is why they're not selling. Because you can go and buy a private block and you can cover 50% if you want, or you can do 5% or nothing. Use it as hard stand. Mancorp don't allow you that choice. And that's where I think if we're going to provide the market with something they're going to want to buy, they should have that choice. As for all the setbacks and everything, yeah, all that has to be. I mean, when it comes to a building, council needs to look at what they're going to impose.
I guess I'm coming to that. I'm quite sure how Land Corp are applying the design guidelines, given they just the building setbacks, landscape coverage, the building heights, whatever else. It's really sensitive to guide. And so there's always going to be an element of flexibility of the R code. It's a business decision for us.
For council, yeah. That would be good if council...
Yeah, well, there's a draft copy going out now, so that'll be up for available for community contribution. Okay, you finished now? Okay, I'll move on. Oh, sorry, Jan.
I just wanted to mention about the RFDS. I spoke to Paul Lalage, the manager, who said he's actually departing town, I think, in about...
Next week sometime.
I haven't actually broached him, asked him if his position still going to be available, is somebody taking over. I don't know whether we are aware of anything like that. But also he did mention that that state government had said, publicly said that they would like a presence of RFDS in Broome. And he said that if he was still going to be here, that he would have been shifted to Broome. So I just want to know what the position is at the moment with RFDS. I mean, they've expanded quite a bit. Will it remain as this expansion? Will it get scaled down? Do we know anything, or is it something that we just need to be aware of?
Through the chair, I'm not aware of...
It was a state government, Colin Barnett, that mentioned that they wanted to have a RFDS presence in Broome. I know they've got one in Derby.
He did indicate to me that his position was being... He sent me an email saying he was leaving town. He did indicate that his position was going to be filled,
okay, but
didn't indicate whether or not that position was going to be based, continued to be based in Port Hedland or somewhere else.
Okay. All right, just sharing that. He certainly didn't say that it was relocated. Okay.
I thought he would mention it if he thought it was.
I could just probably add that at the end of the day, the state government doesn't get to say that RFDS locates, they are a standalone organisation. They do get some state funding, so I guess the state can always put a little bit of pressure on. But if there's one base in the Kimberley, I'm not sure why they create a second base.
They relocate the Derby base
and leave the base in the Pilbara, one in the Goldfields, and then Perth. Western operations, which covers, I think everything from the Victorian border west of RFDS. They've got a fairly specific business plan as far as I'm aware, and they know what they need to do, and I don't think there's any way you see two bases in the Kimberley and no base
in the Pilbara. I just think that we just need to be aware, and if we could just keep on track with things like that, because, you know, as you said, suddenly Karratha takes over with an international airport or Broome, you know, it's just that we just need to know where we all stand.
I suppose that's really clear that they've just had a fairly large capital outlay, the upgrade of the hangar and all the infrastructure that they've put in place there. I suppose where that person's located might be a a choice thing that they, you know, the manager, they might decide the room is where they actually want to locate that person, but outside of that, for the rest of their operations, I couldn't see it, any change.
Yeah, okay.
You know, not with what the industry is here and the amount of RTS flights that go to Port Hedland come.
Yeah, I'd agree. The director, the operation will always remain here. Yeah.
That's why. So I said, I actually said that before. I hope that we will still remain with our base here.
The other point about that, this is that Broome Airport's privately owned. So would they actually get the concessions that they get here?
I'm sure could do one.
Interesting.
There should be no concessions there.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, before we move on, I have two questions myself. The first one is, when are we going to replace our new committee person? He resigned nearly 2 months ago and we still have not replaced Michelle.
I'm afraid to say that I'm on board because we had a discussion about whether we need to, given the timelines of bringing the new program director on board,
yep,
and thinking about the airport restructure,
yep,
committee restructure,
yep,
we spoke about the two standing committees of council, being the Audit and Finance,
yep,
and the Airport Committee at our council protocol and priorities workshop. If you look at these, if we bring the program director on, have a quick overview of the committee structure and whether there's any benefit leading up, bearing in mind that we've also got the local government election,
mm-hmm,
in October 2013.
Yeah.
So that the committee structure would need to be reviewed, the committee membership would need to be reviewed,
yeah,
even if the current terms of reference stay the same. So if we'll bring the program director on first, quick snapshot overview of committee and master plan, so two key issues for the program director, and then come back to the committee and either go out and seek another member or leave it as a stand. Because even if we started the process at the beginning of February and went out for a few weeks for expression of interest, bring it to the committee, go to council, that's going to probably take us through to the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought, I thought that it probably needed to be better synchronised with the incoming program director.
I hear what you're saying, but once again I reiterate, there's another 7 months this bloody committee will be doing absolutely nothing. And that's not what we're here for. October is the thing. We can't hang off till October for a revamp. This thing to me is so important that it's followed up now, not in 5-6 months' time. The appointment of your project manager is most essential, but then I reiterate once again, until he gets a model of what he has to do is regarding the terminal, regarding the freight name and all that type of thing, but we can't sit still and not do something in the meantime for the next 6 months.
I'm not suggesting that at all.
Well, you are.
No. You asked a question about one person on the committee.
And then you said your answer was we defer it until October because it might change in October.
I said, come October, the committee through council will need to be revisited, the committee membership.
We all know that, yeah.
Okay, so what I was saying was, there's nothing to stop this committee conducting business. And one more person or one less person still does not minimise the impact this committee can
makes
have.
Makes a difference when you haven't got a quorum.
Well, again, if people are that interested in the airport, then they should be making their presence at the committee.
Well, we've got two away today. One's in hospital, yeah, and the other one's on a business zone. If ever and then duly come on, I need a better quorum.
Well, again, terms of reference should have deputies so that you've got a mayor and 8 councillors. We should never be lacking in council membership on this committee.
Yeah, I know.
We should have deputies for members, and that was part of the review of the terms of reference.
Well, I would like to see. The first thing I'll repeat again is that until the director, or not director, the airport manager, or whatever his terminology is, I know it's pretty specific,
program director,
comes on board, I think, what are we going to ask him to do?
Well, the PD being produced,
mm-hmm,
you've been involved in part of the
Yeah, I'm still not convinced I know what it's all about. Well, he is?
Well, sorry, as a councillor, then the resolution of council doesn't carry much weight. It's the councillors don't know what this is about.
I know what it's about, but does those people out there know what it's about? I don't know what size the airport's going to be. I don't know what time of the domestic. We were going on a $15 million thing, which is ludicrous. Now, the other day, somebody came out with $70.5 million, which is more like the vote. But in our budget, we had no provisions for only for $15 million in this year's budget. $15 million won't build a toilet.
As a chair, if I can just probably chime in here. Yeah, we've got a
$70.5 million
program. Now, whether that program...
Now, have we got... I haven't seen the
$75 million
program yet, Russ.
Oh, sorry.
I haven't seen it.
The $70 million program was actually part of the adoption of the 2012 budget.
Yeah, down the track. I'm talking about this year's budget, $15 million.
Yeah, but if you just look at the... There's a vision, right? And that $70.5 million is made up of terminal expansion or new terminal, the freight hub, the subdivision, all these components.
Correct.
I'd imagine when this person comes on board, and he's coming here obviously in the next few days, and would have seen that there's a provision, whether that's the right vision or not.
Yeah.
But he would review that program and say, well, taking into account the need to derive an income or a revenue stream from that program,
yep.
The way we've got the program put out at the moment, probably wrong. So he might be, obviously he'll look through this and say that the way to do this, and it's probably a bit like a jigsaw puzzle, is actually this piece has to happen first, then this has to happen, then this has to happen. So I think while there's currently one that's being sort of adopted, whether that's the way it's going to roll out, could be totally wrong, and I probably am. So I'd imagine that's the first thing he will do, and then that program will come back looking totally different, or possibly totally different, saying, you know, do the freight first, do the terminal second, do this third, do this fourth. This is how much money each year.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. He will be doing.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Clear.
His priorities, where they start, where they finish. This is me. Okay, I think we've had enough on that one. The other one is, where are we with regard to the Horizon Powers $900,000?
And
I presume you'll get something in writing when they finish with it.
Yep.
This has been going on now for nearly...
We've been trying to get something in writing from them since December.
Because that's been going on for 2 years, so I presume it's time to
get
it
all done. Same conversation as what we had in writing have a match. And it was even difficult. The guy who was coming in today as the manager of their meter section wasn't going to come today, and the manager said, we owe you nearly $1 million. Do you want to get this resolved?
Mm.
And he said, alright, well, I'll come up today. So we want to get it resolved and pay them, and Horizon, obviously they want to give us that power for nothing,
yeah.
Because unless they come and resolve this, we can't. So, almost gobsmacked that they don't want to come and sort this out.
Because they're going to then back charge our clients, aren't they?
They had legislative powers to do that, to retrieve the funds, and then they said they were going to pay us back. That's what we've asked them.
That's what we want the written letter for.
They won't confirm that's what they'll do. Yeah. That's the problems we have.
Yeah. As soon as we get that, we give them the 900. Okay. Declaration by members to have given due consideration as for attaining the business paper presented the full communication and all that have seen it. It's all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right, thank you. Confirmation of minutes of the airport meeting held on the 6th of February. Is there any points of clarification or discussion on the minutes?
Not points of clarification.
Okay, move Councillor Zombak, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Move on. Announcement by Chair without discussion. I think I've had enough today. Petitions, deputations, presentations. Do we have any? Nothing, we already had one. Presume. Move on to 10.1.1, assessment of tender for demolition of Port Hedland International Airport. I have a concern on this recommendation because there's no provision in there how much it's going to cost.
Last page.
Oh, that's the later item.
Behind the later item is the confidential section, which is
not there. It's a loose one, so have that one up there.
I'll have yours. Mine's not on
last page, Charles?
That's not on mine.
Unless it's the last page.
Not there, is it?
No.
Okay. I'll just read Delphi's recommendation. new procedure now that we don't put the contract pricing in the resolution for council to adopt? Is it something new?
I think that's in the item.
Through the chair, I've asked officers to remove the dollar amounts from any tender documentation and provide it as a commercial attachment to committee or councils only.
Oh, okay.
So it's not part of the public record to protect the commerciality or commercial in confidence information that tenderers might provide. So the information will be available to councillors, but it won't form part of the public record.
So just through the chair, that's just the percentage, the score percentage.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
At the end of the day, the assessment of any tender, whether it's this one or any other, should be done on the criteria that are set within the tender brief. And so the officers will assess that, sometimes with some external assistance, and essentially produce the a weighted outcome, which should provide the best result for the town of Port Ellen. And price is one component. In this case, the assessment has a 50% component for price.
Yep.
And the preferred tenderer has been scored 50 out of 50 on price.
Okay, so the future, I understand, has been the recommendations will only name the person and there will be a separate confidential item with the analysis of the costs. Is that correct?
So
I've got in the recommendation just says CMA. Until I got this, I didn't even know CMA were. But now it says CMA's got a contract price there of $172,000, so I presume $172,000 is the accepted price.
That's their tender.
Yep.
So that's what that's basically a contracted figure,
yeah,
based on their submission.
So that is the figure that we are adopting.
That will be the figure that we would put in the contract of works.
Okay, so all the councils are aware of what it is, because just adopting the CWO without the amount, without this document, doesn't mean a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
it just means that it's not on public record.
Yeah, but it will be soon as this is published.
Not the dollar figure.
Well, the dollar figure's in the analysis, isn't it?
As a confidential attachment.
Yeah.
Just a point of clarification, if I could.
I can't believe it.
Do we need to move into confidentiality to actually move the officer's recommendation?
Well, the attachment is not a confidential. The recommendation is not a confidential item. The attachment is a confidential item, but it runs hand in hand, so I do not believe you have to go into confidential for that.
Through the chair, if the committee wished to discuss the actual dollar figures,
then you would,
I would suggest that you'd move to discuss that part of it only. So the actual tender is not a confidential item, as the chair.
I'm quite happy to move the officer's recommendation on the condition that the attachment is a confidential item and it becomes the contractual obligation for the Shire. So it's up to you.
I agree.
Move Serge. Seconded. Councillor Zombak. All those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you. Move on to 10.1.2 airport project updates. You got any further explanation on that, Anna, or you're quite happy as it is?
Okay.
Any comments? Just as a point of you clarified the 74.5 over the next 5 years. Thank you. Any points of clarification by any members?
No points of clarification. I'll move the officer's recommendation.
And move Councillor Zombak, second to Councillor Gillingham. All those in favour? Carried. Motions which previous notice had been given, they're a nil. Confidential items, they're a nil. Application for leave of absence.
Sorry, we've got one later item. Mr. Chair. The improvement works slow items, have you got in front of you?
I have.
If not?
Yeah. Here it is, I think it's at the rear. Improvement works. Yeah, but thanks so much. About 11.1 is another late item, Port Ellen International Improvement Works. So I'll just have a quick word of this.
Is there a motion to accept the late item?
Yes, please. Move Councillor Zombak. So I'll second the Councillor Gillingham. Late item be accepted. This is the This is in reply to the visitation we had out of the airport.
Yeah.
Did we eliminate those three crossovers? Because there was a discussion had with the CEO, which I agreed with, about there were three crossovers, and we determined we were only going to have the one.
Through the chair, the advice from technical services is that three crossings is actually okay.
Might be okay, but is it acceptable?
Sorry, that it's acceptable was the advice from a manager of technical services.
I think it was on the passengers crossing through the chair, people going
was,
out of the
terminal
crossing.
It was a safety issue, wasn't it?
Through the chair, there's, I suppose, the intention is that traffic is going very slow across the front there. That is to direct traffic, or direct foot traffic, I should say, not traffic, so directing people across from the terminal to the car park. So that's really what that is about, and the amount of people coming through. So if you remove them, then you're trying to get more. You want people to cross on those crossings instead of just walking across the road. So you're trying to get people to direct them to move across those, and that's probably the main reason to install, or there's a reason to install.
Yes, yeah. I thought it was rather traffic hazard with the three of them there when I was out there, because it was only the plane just saying that there's traffic going in all directions.
Just a point of clarification, if I could, what's the distance between each of the crossings?
Not a scale here, so I could tell through
the chair, at this stage, the office recommendation is to put this item on hold for a period of time, notwithstanding that I think there's capacity within the budget to do this through. So I guess the committee could still recommend to proceed with that component at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why we probably couldn't look to even put some temporary crossings to usually test the traffic movements. Would that be...
Yeah, but to put that in as a temporary item, yeah, I would agree with that.
That's good. Both cost and if you look at what that might do.
Good idea.
I think the eventual works out there. I would have thought that if you have the barriers like you have at other airports where you can't just walk out and cross anywhere, you're actually directed to funnel to the crossings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once some temporary crossings are put in place where these are possibly indicated, we'll also understand then what the car parking arrangements, the drop off arrangements might be between crossings. So I think there's a little bit more work for us to do.
Yeah, there is. And I think through the chair, I think everyone, I know I wasn't there, I was on leave, but I think the understanding, or what I got from the understanding between the officers, was that everyone agreed this area needs to be revamped. It's an eyesore at the moment.
Yeah, that's
for sure and certain. Obviously, the budget's an issue. And then there's probably a few things around the terminal as well. So,
yeah.
There's obviously the big constraints, the budget.
Yeah, exactly. And the officer's recommendation is quite correct, is that we leave it till the airport director comes in. He might be able to make some other alterations to or some additions, so let's not preempt his decision.
So, I guess I was just going to suggest, and I'm not sure, not offending anyone, whether the slip road is really something that's a safety issue that probably could occur anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Yeah.
And the committee was keen to maybe see that progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at least that's one more little area of good stuff.
Yeah.
And perhaps at a lesser level of expenditure, we could start to do some of those minor works in preparation for the redevelopment of that douche area.
Because it badly needs doing. It's an eyesore at the present moment. It's terrible. So if we can do those 2 points, I think I'd recommend to the committee that we do proceed with those.
And before, through the chair, if I may, before going into the officer's recommendation there, I just wanted to ask through the chair to the directors, with the car parking in the present car park area, is it likely that the parking will be turned around so that actually that it runs horizontal to the airport terminal rather than sort of like vertical? Yeah, only because of thinking of other airports I've been to, when you drive in, that's the way all the car parks seem to be. And then you seem to get out of your car, go onto like a little concrete area, and then walk along, and you've got more people away out of the car park than you do at the moment. At the moment, you've got people walking in front of cars, etc.
Yeah, through the chair, looking at a modelling of it, probably the constraint is that it's long, but it's not particularly wide. So if you turn vehicles around, you might be able to fit the parking and the gap that's required for the road between. It'd be something you'd have to draw it up.
Just thinking, is that something that we'll be looking at? Because I think, I don't know. So I just wanted to mention that I've noticed that in other airports, that that's where the parking seems to be.
We could certainly look at that. We could certainly draw it up to see whether it would. Probably
if it's going to make it easier to get people out of the car park quicker than being all over by a car or four-wheel drive.
Do you have an amendment, CEO?
Well, through the chair, I was just wondering whether the committee might want to consider, at this stage, supporting the Swift Road component of the project to be completed, and the balance of the works be referred back through a future report.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. And through the chair, there's obviously might be some identified savings through the demolition and the budget, what was budgeted for and what's been awarded, so there might actually possibly be some reallocation opportunities.
So, for governments at the airport, construction of the Swift Road within existing
budget allocations, yep.
And that the balance of the verge improvement works be referred back to the committee for the next meeting.
Speak to discussion.
For discussion, is it?
They're leaving out the top
three components and the preparatory components. So,
okay. How does that go? Can you all read that? Airport has been construction, Swift Road, car phasic allocation, that balance, verge improvements, works be referred back to committee for discussion. All happy with that?
Next meeting. Next meeting.
For discussion at next meeting.
Sorry,
what was that?
Waldron Drive.
Sorry.
W-A-L-D-R-O-N. Drive.
Drive.
Waldron
Drive.
Oh, Waldron Drive, sorry.
It's three drivers.
No, that's not mine. It is.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's two.
Sales and efficiency.
Saving money in average.
Okay, that's the amendment to the resolution. That's something we'd like to move. Seconded, Chris. All those in favour? Motion carried. The only other question I may have before we move on to that one, are we still, or have we not yet, through the to the director, where we're going to put the entry statement? Have we come to a decision on that yet?
Through the chair, no, we haven't.
We were looking at the far end there, weren't we?
Yeah. I suppose the through the chair, if the airport hotel goes there, where's going to be through the chair? We're going to be up the front of the
front,
further down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there could be, if the airport through the chair, airport hotel does go ahead, then there'll be changes to that.
Yeah, to that front lot.
Definitely changes to that, right. And possibly another roundabout.
All right, thank you. Yeah. I don't know, I think that just about turns up your mate for me. Righto, confidential items have now finished. Applications for leave of absence.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, we're actually late items, so item 12.
Motions which previous notice have been given, what are those? I've got none.
No.
I've ticked that off as nil. Now, also, I've done the late items. The confidential items we've done, but we would have done 12 beforehand. Application for leave of absence. Any application for leave of absence?
I'm here for the next meeting, chairperson, but do you need any dates that I'm away in the meantime?
I'll be handy with our quorum. Yes, be handy. Thank you,
Chairman. I'm away the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th of March, and the 20th, 21st, 22nd of March.
21st?
And 22nd. Back on the
20th. No other leaves of absence? Okay, so the motion moves leave of absence be granted.
So moved.
So move councillors on that seconded surge. All those in favour? Motion carried. I have no further general business, so I declare the meeting closed at 12:50. Thank you very much for your attendance.
1:50.
So 1:50 at this time. Thank you very much for your question.
Did you have any questions from school here?
No, nothing.
I thought you had some receipts.
No, there's evidence.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're getting out the door already. Oh, didn't you have some questions from that school here? I didn't get any.
He doesn't want me to grab him.
No.
Questions? No, I didn't have any. Not that you said last night, but for school here you had a...
I thought Brother Dennis was going to come here today and ask some questions at the meeting, but unless he's got it mixed up with another day.
Yeah. It might have been last, I'm not quite sure. Somebody mentioned last night or whatever, did you?
Yeah, I did. I mentioned
it last night. Oh, okay. No, that's right. You said he was coming.
Yeah, he said he was going to come to the meeting. I'm assuming it was this one, but maybe I got a day. All right. That's okay. Thanks, Evan.
I did.
We've got a whole page of it.